This week's AfriCast has been made possible by ASUS South Africa's Vivo Mini range of compact desktop PCs. Powered by desktop class 7th generation Intel Core processors, Intel HD integrated graphics, and ASUS SonicMaster audio technology, the ASUS Vivo Mini PC is ideal for video streaming, giving you a cinematic 4K or 2K experience in a tiny VESA mountable package. For more information, point your browser to www.asus.com/ZA. And welcome to a very special edition of the HTXT AfriCast. Today we're going to be talking about streaming and the little devices that you can use to stream. And rather than just myself and the usual crew of HTXT staffers on the podcast this week, I am joined by Dion Duplessis.
Hi, everyone.
As well as Peter Chang from ASUS.
Hello.
And Richard Borman is joining us on the line all the way from Dubai, and he's from Showmax. Hi, Richard.
Hey.
Fantastic. So, Dion, you wrote a story a while ago about streaming and all the different ways that you can stream, and whether it's cheaper than pay TV and that sort of thing. Could you tell us a bit more about that?
Sure. It was basically an investigation into whether or not switching to streaming would save you money, first of all. And if you do, would you be missing out on anything versus, let's say, the paid-for incumbent, which we all are aware of, which is Dakota-based and delivered by satellite?
Very, very...
I was going for subtle, did I win?
You nailed it.
And it actually turned out very interesting. You know, looking at the raw costs, looking at paying sort of 800 Rand for Dakota-based entertainment, and with that you do get quite a good selection, in all fairness.
Yeah.
But you also get things like adverts and too many repeats, and you know, it's the kind of thing that rubs people the wrong way.
Yeah.
And because of that, a lot of people are looking for alternatives, and because now we've got all these streaming services available in South Africa, I kind of looked at, you know, which ones, how much they are, first of all, and how much it costs to get involved, and then also the kind of content that you can actually see on them versus what you can from the incumbent. And I found quite a few interesting things. So I hope nobody accuses me of favoring the incumbent here. But what I found was the incumbent basically offers quite a lot of content. That's because they're quite a big company and they can afford to buy it.
Yeah, and they've been around for a very long time.
They've been around for ages, yeah. And what that does is that sort of edges out the options available to people who want to stream their entertainment, because those streaming services can't necessarily carry the same content.
Yeah.
Richard, this is why I'd like to, you know, just get your commentary on this kind of thing. Representing Showmax, what have you found in the industry? Like, what are the challenges you guys face in terms of bringing the South African population the kind of content that they're looking for?
I guess the biggest challenge is, sorry, I'm hearing myself in the background here. That's better. There's a lack of understanding in SA about the windowing on SVOD, on internet TV. So one of the big challenges is we tend to get people saying, your stuff is really old. And you know, the point is that at 99 rands a month, you're not going to be able to be buying series straight from broadcast. So I think that's probably one of our biggest challenges.
All right. So if you want to just go into a bit more detail about how that windowing works and how that affects what we can and can't see here.
Yeah, sure thing. So every series, or for that matter, movie, you've got a number of content windows. The first is just the movies, obviously, straight into the movie theater first, and then it would have been, you know, in the old school thinking, onto DVD, and I guess also eventually broadcast on TV. On series, so the way the windowing works now, you've got companies like He Who Shall Not Be Named, MultiChoice, which I quickly say we're part of the same family, so I'm saying that tongue in cheek. But MultiChoice, obviously broadcasting the things fresh the second they're available, and then the SVOD window is typically a year down the road, and the broadcasters actually have what they call holdback. So it's part of their contract that it's, right, we get the rights to this show, and we also own the right that nobody else can have it for, you know, for a period of time, like a year. And then you get, you sort of, obviously the older the content gets, then the sort of this longer window, the lower the price, if that makes any sense.
Right. Okay. And so, you know, on that score, in the research that I did for this piece, and also talking to people that I know, you know, MultiChoice does offer quite a rock solid bouquet, but also on the technical side of things. Let's say, for example, well, you've got a girlfriend like I do. She's not looking for complications. She just wants to sit down, pick up her remote, tune into her channel, and watch. And on that side of things, MultiChoice actually scores pretty well, as far as I'm concerned. The installation is pretty easy. It's a once-off. There's no internet connection to worry about, and you pretty much just sit there and watch whatever you want, and just put up with the things like the repeats and the adverts that people don't seem to like. On the other hand, though, streaming has got a hell of a lot to offer in terms of choice. It might not be exactly what you're looking for, but you can basically access a huge backlog of shows you might not have seen, movies you might not have watched before, and it's easier to actually rent or subscribe to a streaming service than it is to even go to a video store, if those are even around anymore. So, Peter, on that side of things, so if you are interested in getting into streaming, obviously you need a device to stream with, to connect to the internet, load up your browser, and then stream the content that you're looking for. So,
that's correct.
It's my understanding Asus has got quite a few really cool little products that'll let you do that. So if you want to expand on that a little bit.
Yes, okay. So Asus has a division that is dedicated on designing and making small form factor PCs. And that is not only your typical Celeron units. We actually built everything from Atom all the way up to i7 using the latest Intel chipsets. So we have two main form factors. One is called a Vivo Stick, which is basically the size of a fountain pen. It's actually a very nice little design. It's a PC stick form factor. It plugs directly into the HDMI port of your TV.
And that's a full-blown machine, full operating system to work.
It's a full-blown machine. It's a Windows 10 powered machine with 2 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, which is more than enough for streaming purpose. And it streams 1080p Full HD perfectly.
What sort of price are we looking at for something like that?
So this particular unit goes around 2,600 retail, and that's with Windows included.
That's actually a pretty good price considering you do get Windows.
Yes. I think that's the key that people need to remember is you actually get Windows with that price.
That's correct, yeah. A lot of people might think that getting an Android box will save you, but you don't get the same versatility.
Yeah.
You know, with the mini PC, you can customize what storage you want. On the stick, not so much, because it's 32 gigs SSD. Sorry, 32 gigs fixed storage, but you can still put in a flash drive if you want. And also, a lot of people still prefer traditional keyboard and mouse, especially when it comes to searching something.
Yeah.
I don't know whether you tried using a remote on the Android box.
It's painful. I've done it before.
It's really, really painful. Yeah.
Does something like that have Bluetooth built in, so you can have a wireless keyboard and mouse hooked up?
Yes, absolutely. It's got Bluetooth. It's got the latest wireless AC standard. So that is for your more high
AC
intensive.
AC and something the size of a fountain pen. That's pretty impressive.
That's correct, yeah.
And the other thing that people also find when they want to get into streaming is they go, I don't want a full-size computer sitting in the lounge looking all ugly. And from what I can see of these things, they either you can't see them, or I think you've got another few products that can actually sit next to your TV and look pretty good.
Yes, yeah. So this is one of the solutions. We also have another solution called the Vivo Mini, which is not bigger than the size of your wallet, if you can imagine your wallet, but just slightly taller. It's also very premium looking. It's got our Zen-inspired concentric circle on top of it. It's a very, very attractive looking unit, and basically it brightens up your living room space.
Yeah, so it won't look out of place next to a router or anything like
that.
No. It's got a single button on the front, and that's pretty much all.
Yeah, it looks like Apple TV or one of those little devices.
Yes, and it's very streamlined.
So one of the things that I actually quite like about something like that, just as a gamer, talking from a gaming point of view, is you could essentially hook one of those up to your TV, your huge 4K TV, and use something like Steam in-home streaming. and play your games through that, yeah, which is really, really awesome.
That's actually a fantastic point.
Yeah.
Funny enough, what I found I do lately, I sit with my work laptop on my lap, I sit in the lounge with my girlfriend, and I'll be streaming a game that's playing on my main system via my home. And it's flipping awesome.
It's amazing. And I mean, AC Wi-Fi helps you do that.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, the processing power of something like an i7 helps just smooth that whole process out. So like the solutions like this, I mean, I just look back to my childhood and remember that computers used to be these huge hulking white boxes, and when you wanted to connect to a TV, you needed to do a little dance and sacrifice to the technology gods to hope that the connection you were using was correct, yep, and all that sort of stuff.
Days.
And now it's just as simple as literally plugging in an HDMI port into a box.
Absolutely, yeah. Or DisplayPort.
Oh, DisplayPort as well. Yep. That's even better.
Well, there you go. Versatility right at your fingertips. Peter, do either of these handle 4K? I would assume i7s would.
That's correct, yeah. So from the 6th generation CPU onwards, even the Intel Celeron units can power 4K. If you want more reliable 4K streaming, obviously i3 is more recommended.
Right.
But Celeron should handle QHD to 4K just fine.
Okay, awesome.
That's pretty good news. Richard, just from your side, I know 4K is still quite a foreign concept in South Africa, and we don't necessarily have the infrastructure, bandwidth, whatever. Is 4K content something Showmax is looking into?
I mean, yes, we're obviously keeping an eye on it, but no, at the moment, it's not something you're likely to see.
Yeah.
I mean, I think from us, the challenge you've got there is well, data, the data consumption, the cost of data is probably the single biggest thing holding back the adoption of internet TV in South Africa. And, you know, even just going from 720 to 1080p, you're doubling the amount of data going through. So 4K, it's just getting to the point that we're probably going to data price people out of the market.
Yeah, for sure. Which also raises another interesting point of the actual cost of the connectivity itself. So let's say, for example, you go for a multi-choice solution.
Mm-hmm.
You're dropping your $800 a month, but that's, you know, excluding an internet connection. If you want to replace multi-choice with a streaming solution, you still have to pay 700 odd rand for a 20 meg connection, which is about right for streaming. And then you still need to look at subscribing to each of the video providers that you're interested in. Brendan, you were saying earlier, you subscribe to more than one, and I'm assuming this is quite common?
Yeah, so I have a subscription to Netflix, Amazon Prime Video, as well as Showmax. And the reason that I do that is because I find that not one service has everything I want to watch. Like, for instance, like just to give you a really good example, a show that I watch quite a lot of is Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Netflix has season 1 and 2, but they don't have season 3.
Right.
Showmax has season 3. So I've kind of had to go and look and go, okay, so which has what? And I feel that's kind of where things like multi-choice have kind of the pip on the competition, because they have so many licenses to so much content.
Yeah.
That you don't necessarily need to pick and choose you're buying a bundled package.
For sure.
I'm not saying that I regret purchasing my internet streaming options. I really appreciate them, and it's cheaper than me having to get DSTV in my use case specifically. So I'm not too worried about that. But I think that perhaps that's where traditional TV has a pip on things like streaming services. Richard, do you think that that's a bit of a problem for streaming services? Is that the market is very much segmented at the moment?
Yes, definitely. I mean, sorry, I was actually just scribbling down some thoughts here, because interestingly, you know, Showmax launched in Poland back in February.
Yeah.
And T-Mobile in Poland have just launched two packages, which I was doing the maths, for 18 rands a month. You get unlimited streaming, and that's limited to 480p. And then for 55 rands a month, you get unlimited streaming. This is Showmax, Netflix, a few of the other video services, at 1080p.
What?
You know, and obviously, if you could get that kind of thing in SA, it would utterly change the game.
Yeah.
And it's obviously something that you know we're keep talking to the mobile operators about. And I actually, prior to being at Showmax, I spent the previous 6 years at Vodacom. So I also know it from the other side. And yeah. South Africa isn't Poland, and there are some limitations. But I think the point is the network operators have actually been investing so much in fiber, and the fiber was actually to connect the base stations. But hey, it's now in the ground. They need to be using this investment now, and I'm hoping that we're getting to the point that they can actually look at offering that kind of package. And I really like this idea of actually doing it based on video quality, as in pricing according to video quality.
Yeah, because I think that's one of the things that that struck me was that they're offering rather at different resolutions rather than, oh, here's how many screens or whatever it could be. Because, I mean, that's one thing that I do dislike a lot about Netflix, is that if I want to spread my accounts across four people in my family that each have different viewing habits and viewing tastes, I have to spend the most for the highest tier so that I can get the four screens. And I don't necessarily have the internet connection to use a UHD display, but I need that package option just so that I have those options. But I think pricing it in terms of a resolution is something that I would kind of be on board with, because then I'm paying for exactly what I need.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, please spread the gospel. I think it's and look, I mean, I understand the networks. The point is they don't want to data. Is a massive income stream, and you don't want to undermine that by suddenly, in effect, massively reducing the price. But if you price the data according to the video quality, you're actually it's now apples and oranges compared to normal data. So they're not going to undermine their own price. So I think it's a very clever model. I'm really keen to see it.
So Peter, one of the things I want to ask you about is these micro PCs. You mentioned that one of the options is to increase the storage. Could you just go into a bit more depth about that?
Yes, absolutely. So the Vivo Mini has a single storage option, but there's also a dual storage option. So the dual storage, you can use multiple types of storage drives, including 2.5-inch hard drive, traditional types,
or
the laptop hard drives. Or you can use SSD drives. That's normal mSATA or M.2.
Okay, fantastic.
So obviously for 4K streaming, you want the fastest drive available. Sure. And M.2 can handle up to 10 gigabits per second.
That now, should be enough.
Just a note to everybody that's like, why would I need a hard drive if I'm using it to stream? Showmax does offer a service where you can download shows. And I have used it with great effect many times. Because we live in South Africa where the power goes out and sometimes you can't always stream. So things like that I actually really appreciate, because like nowadays I kind of forget about how big files are. And like, I mean, I use Deezer and I wanted to download a few albums last week and I realized that I didn't have enough storage space on my phone because I'm so used to streaming everything that now it's like, oh, I need 100 megs for an album. Okay, forgot about that. Yeah. So that's actually really nice. And I really like the inclusion of the M.2 SATA, because I think that's something that a lot of people forget, is that when you're streaming 4K, bottlenecks just don't work at all. So a really fast hard drive could help that.
Absolutely, yeah. And also the fact that you can upgrade the memory if your default memory is not enough.
Oh, fantastic. Oh,
wow. Yeah.
So how big can you go up to in those PCs in terms of memory?
16 gigabytes.
Okay.
That's more than enough.
Yeah, that's way more than enough.
Richard, I was just thinking, for any of our listeners who aren't familiar with Showmax's option to download the shows, can you tell us firstly how it works and what are the typical file sizes?
Sure thing. Downloads work with just the mobile devices. So I hate to say it, but I think in this instance it won't work with the Asus device. And the reason for this comes down to digital rights management software and pirating issues. But so downloads on iOS or Android. It's literally as simple as when you go and hit play. You've got the option to download the title. You've got four options in terms of file size, or four qualities: low, good, high, and super high. And I was actually just doing the numbers. That lowest quality equates to about 360p resolution, okay. And then the super high 720 or 1080 where we have 1080.
Okay.
So in file size, to give you an idea, that low level, you could have a low quality level, you could have a copy of Big Bang Theory. An episode of Big Bang Theory is 20 minutes. That's about 80 megs. So, you know, a gig, you can get 12, 13 episodes on there. And I think the whole point about being able to select the file size is that you're able to now match your downloads to your needs. If you're watching on your phone, low actually works just fine. It's, I mean, maybe you want to go one step higher, but you really don't need the massive resolution. So it's a great way of saving data. And it's a really popular option for what it's worth. We get a lot of our traffic is downloads.
So in terms of tracking that, I'm assuming you guys get, you've got telemetry on your app. In terms of, how would I even phrase it? So people are using the download option quite a bit, right?
Yes.
In terms of, you can't talk about a percentage of your user base that downloads anything like that?
No, I'm afraid not. I mean, okay. You know, it's obviously, it's going to be less than, I say obviously, it's less than half the, or try it the other way around, more than half of viewing is done by streaming, I think significantly more. But, right. You know, it's not that downloads are 2% or 5%. It's, you know, it's actually a decent chunk of the overall viewing. And it does depend where you are as well. I mean, Kenya, where the connectivity isn't as good as SA, you know, the downloads, I think, is an even more used and valuable feature than in say, SA. Right. Poland, the other way around, that, you know, you don't tend to see so much.
So the app then functions as the DRM platform, I would imagine.
That's right. Okay. And the one challenge that we've gotten is something I would kill to fix, and the guys are looking at what they can do. Is I would love to be able to cast, you know, whether it's you know, Chromecast, AirPlay, or whatever, from the device to your TV, because then that actually solves a real issue in Africa that, you know, for people who don't have a fast connection at home or a fixed line connection at home or don't have the massive data spend, as long as they've got Wi-Fi somewhere. I mean, we joke about drive-by Wi-Fi, but if you're at your friend's place or if you're in the coffee shop or whatever it is, you know, stab that download thing. You can download up to 25 episodes on Showmax at any one point, and they're good for 30 days. If you haven't watched them, then you can download again. So you fill up and then watch when you're home. But if we had just that last part, and this is a DRM issue, digital rights management, if we had that last part sorted where you could then cast it to the TV, it would solve everything. Yeah, so something our engineers are working on. I'm hopeful on that one.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah. So Peter, I'm looking at this little computer here, and I can't help but think that perhaps one day we will stop seeing laptops going in and out of businesses, and instead see stuff like this. Is a little PC like this suitable for business use, for like small business users to use instead of a laptop, or would you prefer people just use it at home, or would you be able to use this as a work machine?
Funny you mentioned that, because the mini PCs is the only segment that is still continuously growing at a double-digit rate globally. All the desktops are shrinking in market size. So, yes, there is a lot of adoption of mini PC in the workplace as well, not just for the home environment. Reason being that these mini PCs are so versatile and so powerful now, and most companies have cloud-based storages anyway, so you actually don't need a massive amount of storage on the PC itself.
So one of the things that a couple of people that I've spoken to, because obviously working in this industry, you see these tiny PCs, they kind of think of it as a half a PC, as it were, and it doesn't have the same security features or things like that. Is that at all true?
Not true at all. There's several lineups of our mini PCs. We have the commercial series as well. So if you do need features such as TPM or vPro, that can be pre-configured.
Okay.
So there's a lineup specifically for commercial usage. We ship a lot of mini PCs to the digital signage market and point of sale market.
Oh,
as
wow.
Well. So we are still making the ones with the RS-232 serial port. So there's a lot of commercial usage.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
And looking at the back, it looks like it could be Visa mountable, is it?
Yes, it's absolutely Visa mountable. Oh, it ships with a Visa mounting bracket.
So oh, wow.
It goes to the back of a Visa mountable monitor and just disappears.
Yeah, so basically, you won't see it at all. Literally, just a cable snake into the back and off you go.
I mean, like, it's literally, I think what we really need to hammer home is that it is a full-size PC. Yeah. It might not have a dedicated graphics card like a desktop PC might have.
Yeah.
But I mean, I suppose you could foreseeably at some point in the future slap on. I mean, I've seen many of these little PCs that have a fully fledged graphics card.
Correct, yeah. So we do have a gaming mini PC. It's sort of half the size of a mini ITX.
Yeah.
If you can imagine how big a mini ITX is.
That's tiny. Yeah.
So, and that's got a 1060, GTX 1060 in it with 6 gigs of RAM. So it's quite powerful for a PC.
That's more powerful than my PC at home.
It's more powerful than mine too, I hate to say.
Yeah. And that's completely VR ready as well.
So, sorry, Dion, you were about to ask something. Richard, I want to ask you, what is the absolute minimum internet connection that somebody would need to stream Showmax at an enjoyable rate?
That's a good question. I mean, we talk about 2 megabits a second as the sort of the kind of connection you'd need, but actually that's you don't even need that. I'm just looking at my numbers here. I mean, obviously with downloads, as long as you're watching on a phone or a tablet, then just download and it doesn't matter what connection speed you have. I guess I don't have a hard number for you, but it's certainly 2 megabits recommended, but sub that certainly still seems to work just fine. And again, it's one of the things that our engineers are working on is how do you reduce the amount of data traffic going backwards and forwards. So it's things like the compression, video compression codecs and that kind of thing. If you can change the codec and reduce the amount of data going through, then it obviously reducing the required connection speed. So again, one of the things we're working on.
So I could essentially perhaps stream using a 3G or an LTE connection. Would that be fine?
Oh God, yeah. No problems at all. I mean, if anything, it's almost even looking down at if it's still kicking around the 2G edge end of things as well.
But
3G is absolutely fine.
Fantastic. That's really, really awesome. Yeah. So you can do this anyway. So Dion, do you still think the he who shall not be named is a better option, a cheaper option? I think my argument is, I don't think it's about what is cheaper and which is more expensive. I think it boils down to what is it that you want out of your streaming entertainment solution.
Well, look, the one thing I did find out as well, though, is if you're into sports, and since a lot of South Africans are, there pretty much is only one option. I'm personally not aware of anywhere that streams the kinds of games that I would watch on DStv, to be honest.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for sport, that's your best option. If you're looking to look at a big backlog of, maybe older shows and movies that you haven't watched yet, but you don't feel like going to the video store, streaming's a fantastic option.
Yeah.
And then it also comes down to the connectivity in your home already. So, basically you have to evaluate what it is you're looking for, what you're prepared to pay, and then kind of go from there. But on the bright side, all of the options are catered for, so whether you want to stream or watch DStv or a bit of both, you totally can.
I also think we need to mention that you don't have to lock yourself into any of these contracts right away. Showmax, I believe, has a... How long is the trial, Richard?
It's 2 weeks.
Okay, so 14 days where you can test things out, you can see if it's a service that you would like, and if it's not, I mean, you don't have to carry on paying for it, or you don't even have to start paying for it. You sign up. If after 2 weeks it doesn't work, you close your account. But I mean, like, I just look at it going, these are the shows that I want to watch, these are the people that are offering it, and it works out cheaper for me to pay these folks. And I'm really glad that we have a local offering in the form of Showmax, because there's a lot of stuff on there that you won't find on your Netflixes and your Hulus and that sort of stuff, which is really awesome. Richard, I do want to just pick your brain very quickly. Showmax is launching its own Showmax original, I think it's later this year.
Yeah.
Do you guys plan to do more of those sorts of things, like homegrown sort of series that are produced by Showmax that have their own sort of South African flavor to them?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a terrible buzzword, and I'm as a PR guy, I should love buzzwords, but I don't. But we talk about hyper-localization. I mean, talking about the other company that shall not be named, Netflix. They're spending $6 billion this year, $6 billion on content. I mean, there's no way in hell a Showmax can compete with that head on.
Yeah.
So I think the strategy, part of our strategy is, okay, but what can we do differently? What can we do that they're not doing? And that's where the homegrown kind of local series start to make sense. And I use an example from Poland. We bought a series that prior to this was just on YouTube, and it's called The Ear of the Chairman. It's a political satire. Now think about that, a Polish political satire. I mean, even if you could, even if you dub it, subtitle it, the jokes aren't going to make any sense in any other country. So that show only works in Poland. That's it. And it's one of the most popular shows on Showmax in Poland.
Wow.
So, we're competing against Netflix, Netflix there in Poland as well. And this is one of the big things that's sort of driving, getting people to Showmax. So South Africa, the very first full-on Showmax original, this is actually using Suzelle DIY. She has a real name. It's Julia.
Yes.
Anastopoulos. And, right, so... we're taking Julia, or Julia's created a new character, Tally, and this is Tally's wedding diary. It's all about Santonite who's moved to Cape Town and is video diarying her sort of the lead up to the wedding. And the bits I've seen so far are absolutely fabulous. And again, that show, we're not trying to do The Crown, which is sumptuous and covers people across the planet want to watch it. This one probably only works in South Africa. Maybe it does carry a bit further, but that's fine. You as long as you are, I think we're finding as long as you're providing content that is different and interesting, people are happy to come use the service. And actually, something that you mentioned before, our experience is it's not a zero sum game, as in the internet TV thing isn't a zero sum game. People are happy to have more than one service as long as each service is bringing them something new. So this originals is a great way to do that.
That's awesome. Fantastic. I think that's all we have time for today, guys. Thank you so much for joining us, Peter and Richard.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll hopefully you guys know a bit more about streaming now, and we've done some bit to kind of help you and put things into perspective. Thanks so much for joining me as well, Dion. Really appreciate it. And I think that's going to do it from us for this edition of the HTXT AfriCast, guys. We'll have a link to the story that Dion wrote, as well as links to Showmax and some more information about the Asus Vivo PCs. And yeah, thanks so much for joining us, guys. We'll see you next week, and cheerio.
Cool. Cheers, everyone.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
This week's AfriCast has been made possible by Asus South Africa's Vivo Mini range of compact desktop PCs. Powered by desktop class 7th generation Intel Core processors, Intel HD integrated graphics, and Asus Sonic Master audio technology, the Asus Vivo Mini PC is ideal for video streaming, giving you a cinematic 4K or 2K experience in a tiny VESA mountable package. For more information, point your browser to www.asus.com/ZA.